Welcome to Exploring Your Creative Genius. Your host, Carl Nordgren, will teach you how to take an expansive view on what it means to be creative and entrepreneurial. Carl is an entrepreneur, novelist, and a lifelong student. For 20 years, he has been learning how to help folks grow their creative capacities. Now, here's Carl.
Hello, and welcome, and thanks for listening. Thanks for listening to Exploring Your Creative Genius on 97.9 The Hill. I'm Carl Nordgren, and this is the show that helps you develop an expansive understanding of what it means to be creative. I won't define the word creative. I'm going to give you lots of different prompts, lots of different insights, lots of different behaviors into what it means to be creative. And then I'm eager for you to construct your own multidimensional, situationally intelligent understanding of yourself as a creative person. Today, I'm going to talk to those of you who come up to me in my workshops, before my workshops and in my courses and in the client work that I do, and explain to me up front that they're not creative. And they will almost always give me a reason. And I've collected those reasons. I think I have seven of them. And I'm going to share them with you, and I'm going to answer them with you. You know, I never bought into this Western cultural idea that creativity was a special gift of a privileged few. I always thought it was common as mud, and all the more wonderful because it was that common. And so I'm confident that I can talk to people who declare they're not and help them fairly quickly see that, oh my goodness, yes, they are. So the one that I used to hear most frequently when I started this work 23 years ago, the one that I heard most frequently was, I'm not artistic, so I can't be creative. I'm not a poet, so I must not be creative. I'm not a artist. I'm not a painter, so I guess I'm not creative. Well, of course, you know the answer to those folks. This radio show has been answering that for 2.5, 3 years now. And that is that creativity is much, much bigger than just simply artistry, right? Let's not conflate creativity with artistry. As important, as wonderful, as much as the soul of creativity can be found often in our artistry, it's much bigger than being artistic. Creativity is in solving problems. I hope you don't have a whole lot of problems to solve, folks, but when you have problems to solve, you're being creative. It's seeing possibilities, right? That's being creative. That's not limited. You're not limited in your ability to see possibility because you don't feel like you can write a rhyming couplet. So that's the one that I used to hear all the time. I don't hear it as often. And that I take that as a good sign. I guess that our conversations with ourselves as a culture, we're beginning to, I think, grasp the idea that creativity is so much bigger than artistry. Another one that I hear very frequently is, I'm too logical. I'm too logical. Folks who are too logical to be creative, they see creativity as messy, and it's not structured, right? So that's why I'm not creative. I'm just too logical. Well, here's some answers to those of you who have that self-image. So much of creativity is connecting ideas, not necessarily come up with new ones, but connecting them. And logic is a very powerful tool. Logic has a pattern recognition quality to it, right? Pattern recognition has a logical quality to it. Fluid intelligence, back in the 70s, social scientists wanted to have different concepts that they could use to contemplate how we think, and they came up with fluid intelligence and crystallized intelligence. Fluid intelligence is that thinking that takes place when you're in a new situation, and how quickly can you determine the logic of this new situation. Boy, oh boy, is that ever a wonderful creative quality to bring to the table, right? That you can understand the patterns and you can see the logic to these patterns. So there's two. I'm not artistic. I'm too logical to be creative. Oh, here's another. I'm not an original thinker. I can't come up with the next big new idea. Well, man, so much of creativity. In my world, almost all of creativity is remix. combining, associating, taking one thing and adding it to another thing to make it a different thing. In that regard, we're all doing original work, right? It becomes something that has never been done before. And so you can reach, if that originality is a measurement that you want to use for your creativity, if you want to aspire to something that is original, you don't have to come up with the original idea. Just keep playing with pieces. Keep playing with different objects and concepts and mix them together in different ways. And when you find the way they mix together most powerfully, that's, you know, you've created something original. When I was teaching at Duke, I was asked frequently by my students how important is originality, and that's what helped me develop this sense that now I don't, you know, I think originality is way over. I mean, certainly back to artistry, there's original artistic endeavors and creations for sure. But in our creative life, I'm not too worried about originality. So I'm not artistic. I'm too logical. I'm not an original thinker. Then I hear, I'm just too practical. I'm just too practical to be creative. The practical people, in conversing with them, they see creativity as something that's out there and maybe too wild for them, not tamed, right? And they're practical. Well, you know that the best ideas are innovative and practical. Not just big ideas that are floating out there, but the ideas have to work in the real world. And so there has to be practicality to our creativity, right? It has to serve a purpose, serve people. So there's a practical quality always to the creative process. And so if you're saying to yourself, I'm not creative because it's just too wild, it's too out there, well, come on, the best ideas are those that have a practical quality to them. I'm going to mention this a couple of more times, but for folks that are practical and you see creativity is too wild, appreciate the increment, right? You don't have to take a big, big, big step into the creative world. A small step into the creative activity, into creative behavior, very, very often will be in and of itself a success, but also sets you up for the next small step and then the next small step. So let's celebrate the increment. Another label that people give themselves for why they declare they're not creative is I'm not imaginative. And boy, imagination sure sounds like that would be right at the heart of creativity of all sorts, doesn't it? So we're going to talk about that when you come back from the break.
You're listening to Exploring Your Creative Genius with Carl Nordgren. Welcome back to Exploring Your Creative Genius. Here's your host, Carl Nordgren.
Welcome back, and thanks for coming back. This is Exploring Your Creative Genius. In the first segment of the show, I introduced to you some of the most frequently expressed excuses that are given to me by individuals who are in my workshops or in my courses or within my clients as to why they're not creative, right? The labels that they've given themselves that tell themselves that they're not creative. I'm not artistic. I don't write poetry, so I must not be creative. We know that creativity, of course, is much, much bigger than artistry. I'm too logical, right? Creativity's got to have a messy, no structure quality to it. Well, boy, when you're logical, you're really very good at pattern recognition. Patterns have a logic to them. Logic has some patterns to it. And that is a very creative exercise to be engaged in, to be looking for the patterns within a new situation. I'm not an original thinker. Well, again, I think so much of creativity has less to do with the original idea as much as it has to do with bringing lots of pieces together, remixing, combining, relating, and then something maybe even original will emerge from that. I'm too practical was another one that I shared with you in the first segment. You see, creativity is out there. It's wild. It's wild. But of course, the best ideas are innovative and practical, right? Your creativity has to be put to practical use to have any usefulness, any value to it. So those were the ones we hit in the first segment. I introduced I'm Not Imaginative right at the end of the segment. And so let's pick that one up. I'm not imaginative. I must not be creative. I'm not very imaginative. What we all are imaginative, you dream, right? When you dream, that is your imagination at work. I have found some stages of imagination, and these first two, I think, are really very useful in helping us understand that, yes, indeed, every day we are imaginative. One of the stages of imagination is that you see one thing, and it reminds you of another thing that isn't present. I see a pond. The water reminds me of wine. Wine makes me think of wine in a wine glass, right? It's not present. So that was the use of my imagination at its most basic. You and I do that. Dogs do that, researchers say. Dogs have that level of imagination. And if I said that with a little disparaging on dogs, I didn't mean that. Hey, dogs have that imagination as well. And a second degree of imagination is that you experience some qualities of an object that aren't actually present, that you can't actually determine yourself sensually. Like, for instance, across the room, somebody is peeling an orange. Too far away for you to get the wonderful scent of that peeled orange. But you do. You smell it, right? That's your imagination. Your imagination allows you to enjoy that smell. So we are all imaginative. I'm too analytical. That overlaps, of course, with I'm too logical. Increasingly, that's really the language I'm hearing from people when they declare that they're not creative, is that I'm too analytical. And once again, like with being logical, what you want to do when you're analytical is study the data, right? Look at the information that exists and look for patterns. You're looking for patterns as you study that data. You're looking for changes, for disconnects, for anomalies. Oh, that shouldn't look like that. I wonder why that is looking like that. That's the beginning. That wonder is the beginning of a creative process. I've researched, actually, when I started getting so many folks saying I'm not creative because I'm too analytical, I've actually spent some time researching people's personal behavioral preferences when they say that they are analytical. And what I found, it sort of surprised me, but it also delighted me, is that there's a close correlation between people who declare that they're highly analytical and their eagerness to tell the stories to others of what they find as they're studying the data, as they're looking for patterns. And of course, telling the story of what you've discovered is an extraordinarily creative service that you are providing for people. That's the best way for folks to understand what you want them to understand about what you have found is by putting it in the context of a story. The last one that I have on this list is I can't be creative. I'm just too afraid of failure. I just don't like taking risks. Well, I've already mentioned the power of the increment, right? If you just step out a little bit, right, just a little bit, how much are you risking? If you do what you can, with what you already have, where you are, boy, there's no risk there. There's no risk there. Certainly minimal risk and the opportunity to get smarter, right? Your fear of failure has got to be seen by you as not a failure, but rather an excitement about learning. Right? That's what happens each and every time the thing that you tried to do didn't quite work out the way you tried to do it. You've learned something. You just got smarter, maybe a whole lot smarter. So you want to do what you can. This is actually Teddy Roosevelt spoke these words. Do what you can with what you have, where you are. A couple of other ways to be thinking about bringing some structure, right? For those of you who want some structure in your creative life, to bring some structure to your early creative efforts, is to fail fast, fail often, but fail cheap, right? Try have a series of little experiments, these little incremental do what you can experiments, do one and then do another one and then do another one. They got to be cheap if you're going to try, if you're going to intentionally get out there to with a wonderful embrace of the fact that you're probably learning more than you're accomplishing anything that's going to, you know, that you're going to continue to invest in. What you're learning is what won't work. But boy, if you do it incrementally and with some little structure to it, you're protected and you might be more prepared to take that risk. So those reasons for not being creative are you're not artistic, okay? You are creative, even if you're not writing poetry. That you're too logical. Boy, logic does a really important in identifying patterns. You're not an original thinker. That's all right. I'm not either. Just remix, combine, take pieces and combine them together. Picasso said, bad artists borrow, good artists steal, right? So that doesn't sound like he's talking about you having an original idea. He's talking about taking somebody else's idea and doing something new with it that hasn't been done before. Too practical? Well, again, there's some structure that you can bring to moving incrementally, but understand that all innovation has to be practical. I'm not imaginative. Well, I'm dreaming that you are imaginative. I'm too analytical, once again, like too logical. You're studying the data, looking for patterns and telling the stories of what you find. And finally, you're afraid of failure. You don't want to take risks. Well, just discipline yourself intentionally to see any failure that occurs is a wonderful learning experience. We've got one segment left, folks. Come on back.
You're listening to Exploring Your Creative Genius with Carl Nordgren. Welcome back to Exploring Your Creative Genius. Here's your host, Carl Nordgren.
Welcome back, and thanks so much for coming back and for listening to Exploring Your Creative Genius on 97.9 The Hill. In the first two segments, I shared with you various labels people give themselves to tell themselves that they're not creative. And I gave you answers for each one of those responses, for each one of those reasons. In this last segment, I want to share with you now, let's build that creativity, right? Now that we're all seeing ourselves as creative, let's get some exercises, some really easy exercises out so that we can build our creative qualities, grow our creative capacities. I share this one on a semi-regular basis. Research out of the University of Munich was trying to determine if color had any impact on creative performance. They created four very different creative exercises for their research project using four very different aspects of creative cognition. And you know how the research works, right? They bring in a test, the baseline group, but then the subsequent people that came in and did the exercises had first stared at one of these colors, either at red or at blue, at yellow, and I think the fourth one actually was gray, and then the fifth one was green. And what they found was that folks who had stared at those first four, all but green, had no impact on performance versus the baseline. But the folks that stared at the color green for 30 seconds had a 25% improvement in the performance against the baseline for those four creative exercises. 25%. I went out as soon as I heard about that research and bought myself a green folder. And stare at it two or three times a day to get that lift and also to remind me that I'm looking to grow my creative qualities when I can, where I can. You want the two hemispheres of your brain, you want them integrated. Yes, the right hemisphere is prejudiced on creative processing. The left is really more oriented towards logical and rational processing, but boy, you want to get into your most creative brain. You want the two of them talking together. You want the logical dancing with the intuitive. You want the rational playing with the imaginative. And so the way you make that happen, the way you integrate your two hemispheres of your brain is Take a walk. How simple is that? Take a walk, hit your natural stride, and the process begins. And there's a pretty good latency element to this as well. Now, the University of Stanford did the research, and they did the first round of research in one of their beautiful parks there at Palo Alto, one of their beautiful wooded areas there in Palo Alto. And then somebody said, well, wait a minute. Is it the walking or is it the environment that has this impact? I would have said at the time it's probably as much the environment because, boy, when I would walk in the woods, I would always come back feeling like I'd gotten a good creative boost. So they repeated the research, walking on a treadmill in a boring, all-gray, windowless room, and the impact was the same. You had the same increase, level of integration between the two hemispheres and the same improvement in the latency of maintaining that integration. So these aren't tips. These are more exercises, activities for you. And I would just really like this first one I'm going to mention. If you're in a family, why don't we do a family version of this? It's the 30-day CAP. I've promoted it to you before as a wonderful way to get fresh perspectives on the problems, the challenges, the opportunities that you're dealing with. 30-day CAP is designed to just sort of kick the status quo in the butt just a little bit every day. And so here's what you do for a 30-day CAP. Once a day for 30 days, and excuse me, what does the CAP stand for? The CAP is an acronym for Creative Action Program, a 30-day Creative Action Program. So once a day, for 30 days, you do one of two things. You either do something you do habitually in a whole new fashion. I brush my teeth right-handed. Today, for my 30-day CAP, I'll brush my teeth left-handed. Or you do something that you've never done before. I've become a bit of a cook over the last 10 years, but I still haven't tried to take on a fancy French meal. Right? So that would be something I've never done before. For 30 days, you do one or two, you know, one activity from one category, one activity from the other category. Maybe today is the day something you do habitually is sleep. Maybe today is the day that you sleep with your head on the other side of the bed. Something you've never done before. Have you ever eaten dinner while in a bathtub? Right? So 30-day CAP, you do that, different activities, either something you've never done before, something you do habitually in a whole new fashion, do it for 30 consecutive days. There's a profound improvement in your ability to see beyond, to come up with fresh new ideas. Folks, I'm going to quickly shoehorn in here an announcement. This Wednesday on the 19th at 6 p.m., I have a free workshop at Golden Fig Books, a free creativity workshop, no registration needed. The free creativity workshop at Golden Fig Books in Carrboro, not the Durham location, in Carrboro on February 19th, 6 p.m. Hope to see you there. It's going to be fast-paced. It's free. It's going to be a lot of fun. Just show up and you're going to have a good creative evening. Thanks very much.
This has been Exploring Your Creative Genius on 97.9 The Hill. You can listen to other episodes on chapelboro.com.